When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Klaus Sadle, a founder and lead curator of the New Orleans Storyville Museum. It is a museum that talks about the history of New Orleans, America's original Sin City, and its notorious red light district right there in Storyville. Klaus, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Noel.
So, Klaus, how long has the museum been open?
So we've been been open 3 months. We actually open on Labor Day, and it's just having fantastic feedback and getting fabulous reviews. And we continue to add to the experience.
So, what is the New Orleans Storyville Museum?
So really, it's a museum that it's very interactive, and it showcases and explores the colorful history of New Orleans from the very founding in 1718, and takes guests all the way through the Storyville period, which ended in 1917 at World War I. And it really explores how New Orleans was such an influential city. At one point in time, we were the third largest city in America. We had the fourth largest port in the world in the middle 1800s. Such a cultural rich city, and it details that as it takes them on a journey up through Storyville and kind of talks about the colorful side of the history. So it's really about how, for example, we were the gambling capital of America in the 1800s. Also, a lot of people don't know craps was invented in New Orleans. Poker was invented in New Orleans. Of course, jazz music was very important because Storyville really gave jazz, I call it sort of an incubator and an accelerator, because jazz was starting right around that period, and Storyville gave so many musicians an opportunity to play. And then, of course, when it closed, all the musicians went around the rest of the country and really spread jazz throughout the world.
Yeah. So it's located in the French Quarter at 1010 Conti Street. Is there something historic or unique about 1010 Conti?
Well, what's unique about that is actually before Storyville, that area of the French Quarter was steeped in vice. So that area was kind of a red light district, not an officially sanctioned one. But the whole purpose of Storyville was to take vice out of all the neighborhoods in New Orleans and try to put it in an area that could be controlled. It was never legalized, but it was basically pseudo legal. They made a district, Storyville, in which they weren't going to arrest people for practicing prostitution. And so they cleaned up the French Quarter, they cleaned up the other areas, and they put it in Storyville. And the museum itself is actually just one block from the from Basin Street, which was the main corridor for Storyville.
So if we visit there, what would we see?
So you would start with start in the 1700s. Every room is curated to take you through a different period of time. So the first room, for example, is really about the founding of New Orleans. So we talk about how Bienville settled New Orleans, and the first basically settlers that came in to build the city. And then we talk about the Louisiana Purchase and how that really opened up New Orleans as a basically a major port city, and how the Battle of New Orleans really brought sort of the first wave of settlers, American settlers, to New Orleans. And then, for example, the next room would talk about the 1800s, and that's really the growth period, the really kind of an exciting time in New Orleans, where we had so many Europeans coming in because of the river trade, as well as other parts of America. And that, for example, we have interactive exhibits of a saloon. We have interactive exhibits we talk about the history of the red light. And it's just really, really immersive in each section of the museum. And then you move on to the late 1800s, the early 1900s, and we culminate with a sort of a walking tour of Storyville, because, of course, Storyville was torn down in the 1930s to create the Iberville public housing. And so there's really no structure. There's only three structures that remain, but it was an amazing architecturally important area on Basin Street. So we sort of reconstructed what we could, so you actually get a taste of what it feels like to have walked down Basin Street back in, say, like 1910.
So Storyville would have consumed like how many city blocks back then?
It was approximately 15 city blocks. So
oh, wow.
It started on base. Yeah, quite large. It was the largest red light district in America at the time. So it started at Basin Street from Canal to St. Louis, the St. Louis Cemetery. Well, actually Iberville, but let's just say Canal. And then it went all the way back to Claiborne. So it was that entire area. And it was at its peak, it had 400 houses of prostitution, 36 saloons. Interestingly, it had actually three indoor shooting ranges. Which had two churches and, of course, one cemetery. So it was quite a large area.
Pretty diverse.
Yeah.
So, Klaus, so this was kind of your brain trust? I mean, you brought this to fruition. What was the motivation for you?
I'm a lifelong New Orleanian. Of course, we hear about Storyville. You know, it's in mm-hmm. it's in pop culture. There's been a number of movies that did it. The latest Interview with a Vampire series was set in Storyville. And it just always surprised me that there was no museum to talk about it, because it's not just about, it's not just about the Red Light District. It was so influential. And again, like we talked about, the establishment of jazz. And it was sort of the first sort of quasi-legal area where they really made an attempt to kind of clean up vice and put it there. So it was kind of a case study. And there's so many interesting things that went into it before Storyville and of course, during Storyville, that I thought it just really needed a dedicated, very large museum that could tell locals as well as tourists about the story of New Orleans. And I kind of use it as a platform to talk about the fact that we were such a diverse, culturally rich, economically powerful city in the 1800s. I think that sort of gets lost these days.
So Brother Martin grad, a UNO grad, so educated here, you went out to the West Coast and you invented some really interesting things. The world's first insulated paper coffee cup. That's you?
Yeah. It's one. It's like people, it's one of those things. I think I've my track record is always kind of inventing the things that people say, why didn't I think of that? And the Storyville Museum is another example. People say, well, why didn't somebody do this before? But yeah, right. The insulated cup, I like to say I was in the right place at the right time with that. It was the early 90s in San Francisco, which was kind of the forefront of the environmental movement to go from styrofoam to paper. And came up with the idea, patented, and fortunately I was in a land where there was a lot of capital available. New Orleans is a great place, but I have to say that I probably would not have been able to raise the amount of money I did if I was in New Orleans at the time. So I was fortunate enough to have done that, built it and sold it to the Dixie Cup almost 20 years ago. And and was able to actually, you know, that gave me the freedom to do this.
And then you went back in the lab and invented the flexible Tupperware top. And that's the top that actually flexes, right?
Yeah.
That we still see it today, right?
Yes, it's in Target and Walmart stores, yeah.
You didn't invent the broom, did you?
No, that was before my time.
Maybe right there in Storyville. Who knows?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, and then you sold that and returned here to the city 2013 and became a resident of the French Quarter, which had to really pique the interest in what you're doing here. And we're so thankful that you did, that you've accomplished it.
Yeah. It's I wouldn't want to live in. I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world, and I have to say New Orleans is just where my heart is. It's a fantastic city, and French Quarter, I feel, is the center of that universe.
I've got a text here that says the 1947 film in New Orleans featuring Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday ends with the Shore Patrol coming in and closing down Storyville. Is there any truth to that?
So, so what happened was that in 1917, America entered World War One. And they basically had the Army and the Navy both had large bases here. And particularly the Navy had an edict that did not allow any base to be within a reasonable distance of a red light district. And I think at that time they were saying it changes, but at the time it was 5 miles. And of course they were right here on the river. So they told Mayor Martin Berman he needed to shut it down. And it was interesting because he went up to Washington and lobbied to say, no, look, we actually are able to control it. It's within this district. We can keep the servicemen out. But what he didn't tell them was that they actually had all these little pop-up places where the servicemen would go in and rent civilian clothes. And they would go into Storyville for the night. And then they would go back and change and go back to the base. Yeah. So they weren't really fooling anyone. So finally, they said, listen, if you don't close it down, we're going to close it down for you. And so there's this famous quote that he makes as he's submitting the ordinance to the city council. And he says, well, you can make prostitution illegal, but you're not going to make it unpopular. And then with that, they basically signed the ordinance that shut it down. And of course, it didn't go away. It just went back into the neighborhoods where it was before.
Right, right. Was there ever an attempt to bring it back?
Not to my knowledge. There was also society was changing sort of at the time, too. And, of course, you had Prohibition that started a couple of years later. So there was just the reformers really kind of had the upper hand at this point. And I think, once it kind of started declining and then there was never a movement to bring it back.
Right. So how can folks enjoy what are the details about visiting the Storyville Museum?
So they can look us up on the internet at NewOrleansStoryvilleMuseum.com. But we're open Thursday through Monday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's $31.50 to enter, but we do have a $10 local discount anytime. So all you have to do is show us that you're a local, and we'll give you the $10 discount. And then people be prepared to spend at least 1 to 2 hours here. Our average customer spends probably an hour and a half to go through all the rooms. It's 7,000 square feet, so it's quite large, quite interactive.
See here you must be 18 to enter, so I have to imagine there's some risque-ness there.
Well, there's nothing visually offensive. Much less than you would see in the Vatican Museum.
Well, I didn't say it was offensive. I'm just saying it was risque.
Yeah, no, exactly. But the subject matter is obviously mature,
right.
So it's an adult subject matter, and we don't want to really be the people to have to tell, we don't want minors to learn that from us at first. So yeah, it's 18 and over.
Well, Klaus, you have a very interesting history. You go to Brother Martin, go to UNO, you leave, you go invent two things that are still in existence today. I guess it's okay for me to say. You made a boatload of money. You come back to the city. And then you open this museum, and we're better for it. I just want to say congratulations to you. I won't hold the fact that you went to Brother Martin against you as a Blue Jay, but it's okay. I can get over that. But, you know, and we're better for it for having the New Orleans Storyville Museum right there at 1010 Conti. Folks, you're going to want to check this out. We're going to get by there, my wife and I, real soon. I got to see this. I had no idea that this even opened. I'm so very excited that it did. I think others should
be as well. Great. Well, love to give you a personal tour.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Klaus Sadelier, founder and lead curator of the New Orleans Storyville Museum. Best of luck to you, and happy holidays.
Thank you, Nolan. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.